as in months past, in the days when God preserved me. So now he's in a lot of trouble, so he's reflecting back on the days when he served the Lord and everything went his way. Everything was good. Now he's got troubles galore. So he's, oh, that I were in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined on my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth. Actually, the literal Hebrew word there is when I was naked. When the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me, and they hid themselves. The aged arose, they stood up. The princes stopped talking. They laid their hands upon their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, it blessed me. When the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had no one to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came to me. I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and as a diadem. I was the eyes to the blind. I was the feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I even broke the jaws of the wicked, and I plucked the spoil from his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest. I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me all men gave ear. They waited. They kept silence at my counsel. After my words, no one spoke again. And my speech dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain. They opened their mouth wide, even as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they were astonished. In the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way, and I sat chief, and I even dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforts the mournful. So Job is reflecting upon the circumstances of his former days when he was young. Sometimes it happens to us that we're in the world, then we repent, we believe on God, and everything goes our way. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. You're in the world, then you repent. You make an exodus out of the world. You decide, hey, I'm not going to go the selfish, wicked way. I think I'll serve God. And then you repent. You change your mind. You exodus out of the world. You believe on the Lord Jesus. You put all your trust in him, and everything goes smooth. I love those. You can think back on those days. You remember the days. Remember those great days. I had my health. Money flowed in. He said he washed his feet with butter. You know, everything was smooth. Everything was, you know, I was great. He had his children before him. He had reputation. He had a name. He walked through the streets and people, you know, fell back. The children even hid their faces from him because he was so great. Then the nobles, the Negadim, the nobles, you know, they stood as he approached. And the great men bowed in courtesy and everybody stopped speaking. Even the princes, the Sarim, even they spoke nothing. He's here. Shh, shh, quiet. And no one spoke a word as he moved to his seat. And he remembered, you know, serving God pays. I mean, you know, it was awesome. You know, and he just, you know, I wish I could remember days like that. I have not even gotten to those days yet. There's nothing to look forward to. I don't have those days. I kind of doubt they're going to happen. So this is amazing. He could look back and he had palaces. He had, you know, he said even the secret of God was on his tent. You know, he knew what was going on. He was close walking with God. Everything was great. All he had to do was repent from this world, believe on the Lord Jesus, put his trust in the Lord, and then he obeyed the Lord. Everything went his way. I tell you, those are great days too, especially when you're in trouble and you've lost all of that. Here's a man looking back and saying, I wonder where I went wrong. I mean, I'll remember those days. I'll remember those days. Now my health is gone. My wealth has fled from me. I can't even pay the bills. I mean, it's terrible. I used to be the richest man in the East. Now I can't even pay the help. And they despise me. My name is gone. My reputation is gone. People now hiss at me. And the children spit in my path. You know, it's a sad thing when you've had something and then you lose it. My children, once I delighted them, they were all about me, giggling and laughing. Now they're all dead. It's terrible. This man lost everything and yet he served God. He repented from this world. He believed on the Lord. He obeyed him, and everything went well. Now he looks at his life, and it's pitiful. It's a mere shadow of what it was. He's despised now. Even his friends come to comfort him, and they end up accusing him. You know, Job, you know the problem with you is you don't recognize God. No, I do. Yeah, that's what you say. But you know, look at your life. Look at the circumstances of your life. They speak loud. You boast in the Lord as though you had done everything right and this all just kind of happened to you? I think not. I think God, when a man repents and trusts and then believes and obeys, then such a man is blessed. God is not an unjust God. Look at you now. Your circumstances speak loudly. Poor Job. He had nothing to say except this. No, it's not true. I've done everything right. Job, come on, man. Wake up. Look at your life. Look at the circumstances of your life. They say something to everyone. Even the children despise you. Your own family. Your friends. Here we are. We've come here to comfort you. But how can we comfort you unless you repent and admit that you're not the man of God that you said you were? You probably have some hidden sin in your life. What have you done? Somewhere you went off. You got off. You remember how well you were before? So Job is, he doesn't know what to say. He has nothing to answer. All he can do is repeat it. Well, I remember. I remember those days. Is anyone here like that? You can remember the days when, you know, you were fresh and quit the world and followed Jesus and put your trust in him and began to obey him. Came to church, read your Bible. You know, a good person. Kind to people. Showed a little, you know, respect to people. Worshiped God, loved your neighbor, loved the church, gave generously, forgave people. It's a marvelous story. And shouldn't the next thing be that God preserved me because I was the righteous one? Doesn't God preserve the righteous? Doesn't he protect them? Doesn't he put a hedge about them? Ah, one problem. The devil. Satan came to God and he said, you know, God, You know why Job worships you and loves people and so on? It's not for nothing, you know. He's got a motive. Look, you protect him. Look, his family's fine and his health is good and his wealth, and anybody would love God. You know, I think, you know, you touch one of those things, you'll see he'll curse you to your face. So here's how men live in the world. They're just selfish. They're full of self. And let's call that number one. I love numbering things. I like to keep things clear. I love number one. You know, you start out in the world. Everybody's kind of born in the world. You know, you're only thinking of yourself. Is anybody born that way? Yeah, everybody was born that way. All little kids, all they think of is me and mine. They learn those words right off. Mine. You know, they just love that word. It's mine. And they can kick you or bite you or whatever because it's mine. They know. And so they're very protective, very territorial. Get out of my room. Get off my bed. I remember when Kara did that to Kirsten. Kirsten would come into her room, get out. You know, and that was a powerful thing to say to a sister. Get out. You have cooties. Don't sit on my bed. I love that. Because this is mine. She even put stuff over the doorway so that when she'd walk in, it would fall on her. That's protective, isn't it? You know. And she thought it was great. You know, you can't sit on anything or touch anything. Except when Kara wanted to sell some of her stuff, that she'd say, you know, come. And she made her pay twice what anyone else would have to pay. Take advantage of her. You know, we're kind of all worldly like that, and we have to be taught. We have to be trained. And so our parents normally are one of the first ones to teach us to repent. You know, you can't be selfish. Change your mind on that. Don't be thinking of yourself. Think of others. Think of God. Put God first. Jesus first. Others second. Yourself last. That's the joyful life. At least you got that, Gilbert. That's what Baptists teach in Sunday school. The secret to joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Joy. Don't you see it? Boy, there's a joyful life. Forget yourself. Don't even take care of yourself. It's not biblical. But it's kind of what people think. So, you know, you repent. You get out of the world. You repent. You completely get out of the world. And you make an exodus. You know what? And parents help this out because they don't want kids to be selfish. Hey, you share that with your sister. And they force you and they spank you. Take that off. You know, and they want you not to live selfishly the way you want to live. And they try to break your will. Has anybody ever noticed that? I mean, it's a rude awakening for a little kid that's been kind of okay, you know, kind of wanting his own way, crying when he wants, and, you know, messing up his diapers and whatnot. And then all of a sudden he's got to obey the laws and the rules and everybody's bossing him around. They don't like it. You know, that's how you learn. So you learn to repent, get out of this world. You know, don't just think of yourself. And then you believe. You not only repent, but you believe. You believe. Believe in someone else. You know, don't be believing in yourself. Believe in someone else. That's number three. So you got to get out of the world, repent, make an exodus out, and then you got to put all your faith in God. You got to put your trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Don't be arrogant and smart alecky. You know, humble yourself. Get down. Stop being a big shot. You're not that important. It's a real downer for someone to do that. You know, where you can't just have your own way. How many have learned that? Life is rough on you. It doesn't want you to just to do what you want to do, when you want to do, how you want to do. You have to do it the right way. So you make an exodus out of the world. All right. I'll compromise a little bit. I'll put my faith in God. Not all the way, maybe, but a lot of the way. I'll add him to my thing. See if that won't bring me happiness, because I hate getting all those whippings. And then you learn to obey. Repent, believe, obey. One, two, three, four. Obey. Repent, believe, obey. There it is. There's the secret. We even have little songs like that. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Did y'all learn that when you were little kids in Sunday school? You know, trust and obey. It's just a beautiful little song. And little kids are taught that because it helps to keep them in line. Jesus loves me. Those are good things. Kind of whittles them down. Gets them out of the world. Gets them out of selfishness. Breaks their will so that they don't just do what they want, when they want, how they want. Amen? Has everybody learned this way? This is the way. Exodus out of the world. Repent. Change your mind. Stop thinking only of you. Think of others. Jesus first. Others second. Yourself last. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then the beauty of that is that all of a sudden, God will preserve you because you're going His way. Over there, you're going to perish. But here, you'll have good health. That's something good. You'll have good health. God will give you good health. Yes. Not only that, you'll have wealth. You won't be a fool, you know. You'll get some stuff that way. And you'll have a good reputation, too. And not only that, a good name. A good name. Boy, that's something you want to have. A good name for yourself. And family. Have your own family. Boy, that's a blessing right there. Friends. You know, just, boy, there's so much when you go God's way. What a happy day. What a happy day that'll be. And that seems to be a good formula. Oh, why would I depart this world if I could find happiness in life? You know, a lot of teenagers still wrestle with that. You know, I want to go with God, but I also want to have, I want to do my own thing too. I hope I don't mind following God a little bit. I'll even put Him first. Right after myself. So a lot of teenagers have trouble because they know the right answers, but you know, when you get 12 and 13 and 16 and 18, you don't really want to go the God way. You want to kind of go almost the God way, but just a little bit on the edge. Just a little bit on the whoa. You don't want to fall down, but you just want to kind of get on the edge as much as you can. It's far from God, but not too far. And it's close to the world, but not too close. Just right here on the edge. Whoa, no. Not that bad. And so we exodus out of the world. And we just see if we can walk along the edge. It's like the fiddler on the roof. Remember that? It's a very difficult thing to fiddle while you're on the roof. Whoa. You know, and whoa. You don't know when you're going to fall. So following God is the right way. This is the way that Job went. When he was young, he said, you know, when I was young, I told the Lord, I'll serve you. I'll repent from this world. I won't take care of myself. I know you take care of me. And sure enough, God hath preserved him. God hath preserved him. And so, he says in the very first verse, which we read, that God preserved me. He protected me. He watched over me. He gave me life. He protected me. I was okay. God preserved me. God preserved me. The world was jealous of me. I mean, they saw how well I was doing, my health, my wealth, my reputation, my name, my family, my friends, everything. I had everything, including eternal security. I was secure eternally, too. I had everything. I had spiritual, I had material, mental. I people respected me. They looked up to me. I tell you, unless you've had this, you don't really know what it's like when you lose that. When you lose your family, you lose someone you love, you lose your health, you lose your finances and you can't pay the bills. It doesn't hurt so much if you never had anything. What hurts is if you had it and then you lost it. And people look at you and say, what's wrong with you? And if you've been poor your whole life, they just go, well, you know, that's the way it is. But what if you had it and then you lost it? You once were loved, and now people despise you. I'll tell you, that's suffering. How many know that's the way to grow? That is the way to grow. So the devil came up with this little idea here. is, hey, God has a program to help people to grow. This is not it right here. This doesn't help anybody grow. This is kind of like spiritual. This is spiritual. This is spiritual rebirth. Spiritual rebirth. Born again. This is spiritual rebirth. And here, all my faith is in, I'll put a cross here, all my faith is in Jesus. You know, he died so I could have health and wealth and reputation and so on. Good for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's yours over there. This will be mine over here. You know, kind of like, what a great guy. Thanks. I mean, you know, that's a great kind of life. Put all your faith in Jesus, because Jesus died for you. Now you don't have to suffer. He did it. He did it all. He even said it's finished. Good for you, Jesus. Now I can have the health and the wealth. So the devil came along and he said to God, hey, God, you know why Job serves you? Because there's no suffering in his life. I tell you, if you cause a little suffering in his life, like, you know, take away his wealth, take away his family, you know, touch some of those things, let me do it. I tell you, curse you to your face. No, he won't, God said to the devil. Yes, he will. You think he serves you for nothing? He serves you because you protect him. Just take the hedge away, and I'll show you something. He doesn't love you. He loves the stuff, the circumstances. That's what he's into. He's not really loving you. He doesn't love to worship God. He doesn't love to love the neighbor. He's selfish. He's still selfish. Your followers are hypocrites. Let me put them to the test. I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll show you what they're made out of. Let me set them to the test. So the devil devised this idea. Number five, he had this idea. Now, number five is like a test. I'm going to make a little orange fire here. A little fire here. Yeah. Now, if this test, if you come out, if you win, you come out like this. Happy face. I better make that happy. Because the guy was looking kind of like, But anyway, I was supposed to make that happy. That's only if you get past the test. What if you flunk? What if you don't know your stuff? What if you don't know how to get through five? You're only an immature believer who can only get through four. And as long as Jesus and good circumstances go together, you're a Christian. But if you put Jesus plus bad circumstances in the test, you start losing your health, your wealth, your reputation, your name, your family, and all that. Then, maybe a person would curse God. Can you all see that? Many a person starts out with God. It's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. And they just can't endure. They go, God, I hate this. I hate this. I remember the days when it worked. This is sick. This is bad. I'm not a strong Christian. I'm just a believer. You can't put me through these fire things. That's for Jesus. He did it. Let him go again. I mean, I can't take it. I don't like those scriptures that say, take up your cross. I like the one that says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Let's stick with that message. That'll build a big church. But so here's Jesus taking his cross. This will pay Jesus' cross. That's what I want, a kinsman redeemer. Let him take the payment. Let him pay for me. I understand he's into that. Okay, do it. But I don't think I should have one. What kind of nonsense is that? I wasn't made for this. You know, I'm not made for suffering. I don't know. Are any of you like I am? I just seem to be made for being blessed more than being a blessing. I just seem to be good at it. Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone here that, you want to be blessed? Like, it's very similar to the world. It's selfish, isn't it? I seem to be made, though, that way. You put me through a little fire. Whoa, right away, I'm out. Whoa, what was that? That's just a little fire. Well, that's too hot for me. It's too hot. Tim, that's going to burn off the dross. Well, I'm keeping the dross. I don't want it burned off. I have a feeling there's too much of it. And so Jesus said, no, just get in there. Okay. Ow! Ow! Turn it down. It's too hot. Well, how much do you want? Well, just a little. Just kind of like, yeah, that's it. I can just feel the warmth of it right there. Just leave it right there. Now let my circumstances stay okay. But I don't want to get in the fire and say, yeah, go. Because he'll just crank that thing up. I know he will. I ain't about to say anything it takes. I'm not going to say that. I'll just say, go easy with me, God. Remember, I'm dust. Yes, I'm a baby Christian. Yes, I'm immature. But at least I'm a Christian. I'm believing in you. Hey, look, it's okay if you're strong, but I'm not one of those. That's for a Jesus kind of person. Maybe Pastor Jim or something. You know, let Jim get it. He's a big, loudmouth Christian guy. Let him get it. See if he likes it. Take away his health. Take away his wealth. Burn down his building. You know, just get him a little bit. He's got this big faith thing. Test him. And so the devil said to God, he said, let me have him. Let me have him. Let me touch him. I'll tell you what, he'll curse you to your face. God said, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. And so the devil had God's permission. And God says, when he's done, he will obey me again. He'll go right back to obedience. I'm telling you, this guy will praise God. He will pray. When he's done with all the troubles you can throw at him, he'll still come out strong. How many want to go through one of those? One, two, three. Okay, how many? Four. Four. Five, 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 five. Five, five. Yeah, four, five and a half, five and a half, five and a half. Okay, five and a half. Who else? I mean, you really want this. I mean, it's like, God, yeah, I want to be mature. I don't want to just be an immature Christian. I don't want to be just a juvenile Christian. I want to be serious, serious, whatever it takes. Burn all the dross off. Get all the sin out of my life. That's it. I've got five and a half, six, six and a half, seven and a half. You want to do the other half? Okay. I got eight. I've got eight. All right. Way in the back. Nine. I'm gaining. I just tell you, just by repeating it like this, I'm getting more. It's exciting. We're building it right up. We're getting more and more for the kingdom of God. You know, if God only had the patience that we have here, he could get more customers. I'm telling you. It's just a little suffering. Yeah. It's just going to kill your soul. It's not going to, it isn't spiritual. This is a psychological. It's kind of like, I don't have a will. I don't have any emotions. I don't have a mind of my own. I'll just do whatever God says. You know, that's the kind of thing that gets burned up in one of those affliction things. That's how you learn obedience, through what you suffer. Six comes from five. Anybody can go through where Jesus gets it and you don't. You just get all the goodies. Good circumstances, that proves you're a Christian. Anybody can be one of those. That's how church growth takes place. Those big churches, they're built on 1, 2, 3, 4. Get out of 1, get into 2, 3, and 4. That's it. It's a beautiful formula. But here in this church, we believe you should go into 5 and 6. That's why we're dwindling. People are getting in the fire and they're not coming back. They're not coming back. They don't like it. It's Job after Job after Job, week after week after week, and it's getting sick. You know, it's like, Pastor, get on to a good message. We've had enough of Job. No, no, there's more. Praise God, there's only 29. There's 40. We got more. Another 11 chapters to go. This is just, you know, kind of like pointing out what he's talking about today when he's looking back at number 4. You remember, God, how everything, I had everything, wealth and health and reputation, respect. You know, I was not like the normal politician. When I saw a poor person, I didn't make a law that favored the poor. I never made a law that favored the poor or the widow or the orphan. I made every law that was fair to everyone. I never made a law that was favorable to the rich and the powerful. I made laws that favored everyone equally. I wasn't arbitrary because it was my nephew. I didn't take bribes. I was a true judge. In fact, I was the chief magistrate. Indeed, people, everyone, even the princes, bowed as I came past because they knew I was fair. They knew I would never put anyone down, no matter how small, nor lift anyone up, no matter how great. I would make everything equal under God. I tell you, we don't have judges like that. We don't have presidents like that. We don't have mayors like that. We don't have leaders like that. Where are they? Job. Job put himself forth and he said, God, I was like that. And I was blessed. And the land was blessed. And I protected the land. And I was like a king in the army. I defended my territory. I tell you, there is an example of good government. Job was a high magistrate, the highest in the land. And he was well rewarded for it. Now, what would happen if a man were righteous? But then the devil makes a deal with God, and suddenly he goes into suffering. You know why God said okay to the devil? I mean, the man had everything. And the devil came along and said, yes, 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 yes. But God, think of it this way. He only loves you because of all the circumstances. He doesn't really love you. It isn't you he's impressed with. It's the stuff. It's the reputation, the family, the wealth, the health. That's why he loves you. Take it away, and he'll curse you. He doesn't love you. He's still in the world. You've got nothing. You've got nothing. You've got nothing. Put it to the test. And God said, okay, go ahead. Now, why would God turn one of us over to the devil like that? Why would he do it? Why would he do it? Why would he take a righteous person? There was none more righteous than Job. Hey, devil, have you seen my servant Job? Have you regarded him? He's a man of God. Yeah. Now, but let me, when I get done with him, he will curse you. Okay, go ahead. God is so smooth. You see, God doesn't get in trouble. He's not down here. I mean, he's brokering with us, his little pawns down here. You know, here we are down here. And then, oh, and by the way, if you go through a little trouble, rejoice. You see, it's easy for God to say that. Don't forget I'm up here, way up here. he's not near at hand. God! Where are you? And he said he'd be right here when I called on him. I just called. Okay, I'll text Mexen. God, where are you? You know, and he still doesn't come. God, what are you doing? Five, Jim, five. Five, test. Oh, that's a test. This will be for my good. All things work together for the good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, and the Lord approved of it. The Lord said, yeah, the devil's going to do his best right there, but don't worry about it. He's not going to take your life. I already made an arrangement with him. Oh, that's it. He won't take my life. I'll just be sick. I got it. Yeah, what's that? And I won't have any money anymore. Okay, yeah, who can pay the bills? Yeah, no big deal. And your family, you lose all your children. And your wife will kick you out of the house, and so on and so forth. And, you know, yeah, life will stink for a while. But it's okay. In the end, you'll be all right. In the end, could we end it now? Could we have a quick end? All right, I see it. I see the point. I'm not stupid. I can see the point. Let's just get this over with now. Kill me. And God says, no, we're not yet. We haven't yet perfected you. You haven't perfected me? What do you want? You still have your health. So the devil came to God and said, well, okay, all right, Job has endured this far, 5 and 6, give him 7. 7? What's 7? I thought 6 was the end of it. No, that's just psychological death. That's just soul death. You're just dying to your psyche, to your soul. Yeah, we haven't even started with the physical. We'll get to that right now. Psychological death. No, that's just one test. Let's do a 7 on the guy. Here's another test. Another test. Ah, that's some more fire. Here, we've got to make some more fire. That was inward death. Here's an outward kind of punishment. Let him go through the hell of that. See if he'll smile. Yahoo! Kick up your old feet there. Look at that. Look at that guy. He's excited. Put a little Texas flag there or something. Put a little hair on her head and then make her into a girl. Whoa, there you go. Now we got a girl. All right, now, those tests are designed by God to bring us to full victory. Here's victory number 8. Victory in Jesus, my Savior. You know, this is what God has in mind for us. You thought this test was tough. Wait to this one. And you thought that was tough. Wait to this one. So here's the devil, and he's got all of us going through these fires and these flames, and everywhere along the road here, he's causing all kinds of suffering, because you learn obedience through what you suffer. You learn obedience through what you suffer. Don't worry about it. The more you suffer, the better off you are. Well, did I say that wrong? Yeah. You remember, he will never tempt you beyond your strength. The problem is you don't know how strong you are. So he puts you in. God, I don't have any strength. You know, you're yelling out like that. But he knows that's just you yelling out. That's the flesh. God, I don't have any strength. That's your flesh. It is not my flesh, it's my spirit. I know it's my spirit. I'm losing my spirit. And so God says, no, you can handle this. You're one of mine. You're one of my beloved. Yeah, how many know the Father chastens them that he loves? I just love you, Jim. I just put you through this. This is good. You know, and he loves it. Hello? I mean, little kids don't understand those spanking things. How is this for my good? I remember my dad used to say that when he spanked me. Jim, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't comprehend that. I couldn't comprehend that. How's it hurting him? He's the one with the belt. I'm the one with the bottom. It's a good combination, but I hate my part. I want his part. Could we reverse roles? It was easy for him. It hurts me more than it hurts you. It didn't hurt him at all. It hurt me. It was my bottom. And I yelled. I screamed. And you had to not wiggle because you got spanked twice if you wiggled. He told me that going down the basement. We had basements up north. That's how you can tell the difference between the north and the south. We had basements. So, you know, we had basements, and you went down into the basement. That's where the coal was, you know, because in the winter, it gets cold. You have to have that coal down there. It's dirty down there. That's where you got the whippings. They took place in the dark so that no one could see and hear. No one could hear. They're beating me. This is good for you. He said, this is actually good for you. It's not good for me. I learned my lesson right away as we were walking down the stairs. I already had it. I had it. I've learned already. Mercy. He was cruel, and that I called him Adolf Hitler. I did. I mean, in my mind, I told that to my sister. I never call him John. I'm never going to call him Dad. I hate him. That was the way I handled it. Do y'all see that I had a little bit to burn off? Because after all, he was doing it for my good, just like God's doing it for Job's good, just like God's doing it for your good. You go through troubles, you go through trials, you go through tribulations, you go through suffering, affliction, correction. That's good for you. That's something to give thanks for. Give thanks in all things. In all things, give thanks. You see, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly from affliction. When it gets too much, he pulls you out. Notice, if you're a piece of paper and you went in the fire, you just burn up. But you're not a piece of paper. You're pure gold. When you go through the fire, you'll come out pure. And if you don't come out pure, he sends you through again. You see, but a piece of paper just goes through once. Poof, it's gone. And I feel like I'm a piece of paper. I feel like, God, don't burn me up because I won't have anything left. There's nothing here to purify. It's just a piece of paper. Did anybody ever feel like that when you go through something like, it's too much? I'm only a piece of paper. Regard me. I'm just dust. I'm just human. I'm not Jesus, you know. No, Jim, you have Jesus in you. I can't find him. I don't know where he is. Jesus, are you in there? Jesus, come out. You get the spanking. Yeah. I always want to transfer it if I can. I'd like to stay a 2-3-4 Christian. Immature, yes, but at least you have your health and your wealth and, you know, some reputation and a name for yourself. I don't know. There ought to be a way back. You ought to be able to go from 2 or 3 or 4 and get back to the world if you have to. You know, God, all right, I flunked. All right, I didn't study. Okay, I don't mean it. There ought to be a way back because, you know, this is only for God's children. This little process here is for his children. And the fact that Job could look back and say, I remember the days when I repented. I remember the days when I got out of the world, when I said, God, I'll follow you all the days. I remember that, and I remember how well things went. I remember the strength I had in myself, and circumstances were with me, and I didn't think the circumstances were that important. I just thought they were kind of like a sign of my goodness that I had walked with God. I didn't realize I had more sin in me. I thought Jesus took care of all my sin. How many thought Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took care of all the sin? He did, spiritually. Not psychologically, though. You see, I still had to get my mind renewed. I needed to be clear, and I'm not. I was confused. I needed to be strong in my will. I'm not. I'm weak-willed. I get up to read my Bible, and before I can get out of bed, I just lay back down. I was a weak-willed person. Jim, it's 5:30, up. You could read the Bible for a good hour and a half. And I feel bad now. It's making me feel bad and guilty. Try not to think about it. He wants me to read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. That's my flesh, of course, talking. You heard that. I don't want to read the Bible. And the guy says, yes, you do. No, 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 I don't. No, there's your spirit saying it does. I can't hear it. I can't hear my spirit. I need some sleep. If I had some sleep, my spirit could be finer. Jim, you don't need all this sleep. Has anybody ever been like that? You're kind of a little resistant to God saying, you know, here's how most people wake up. Most people wake up, they get up and go, oh my God. That's how they do it. Then another day, God, I have so many problems. Geez, which one do I have to start with? You know, and they kind of wake up depressed. I mean, immediately they're depressed. There's another way to wake up. There's another way. You wake up and you go, hallelujah! I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Let the devil come. Jesus, you and me. I love you, Lord. I confess all my sins. I'm ready to go the full measure. That's another way to wake up. Most people choose the former. Very few accept the latter. You know, because problems can be so overwhelming to us. You know, the loss of some of these things is tremendous. And it can just totally depress you. I mean, if I weren't so mature, I would wake up totally depressed out of my skull every day. I would. I barely can make it. I don't know how you who are less mature than I am make it. It amazes me. How do you do it? Did you see the humor of that? And that's why God always sends the pastor to the furnace first. Pastor Jim, thou mature one. And then you have to go through all this stuff, see if it works. And if you come out, it works. If you don't come out, it didn't. It's a simple process. If you get burned up, you know, you do get burned up when things go wrong. You don't even say that. This burns me up. It's not right. I'm a Christian. I'm righteous. Why doesn't he preserve me? You preserve that other brother. Why not me? I haven't read my Bible twice. What? And then you got friends, you know, coming around. No, you're going through this, brother, because there's something wrong. There's nothing wrong. I read the Bible twice. How many times did you read? You have pride. And I just hate it that I always have new sins that I hadn't even thought of. I hate it. When do other people get their sins out? Why is it always me? This is Job's problem. So Job is wrestling with this thing. He's at number 6 here, going through the first test. Now he's in number 7, and he's really not getting it. He's not getting it. 7 times he's been in the test like that, and he's still not getting it. Like, when does this thing work? Where's the good part? I remember when at USTA, at 4, how did I get off the road? I should have stayed at 4. How many know that if you're an immature Christian, just go to one of the big churches in town, everything's fine. You go to one of these dinky little churches like ours, it stinks. And it doesn't get any better. And the pastor's harping on, go through 5, 6, 7, and finally at the end there'll be an 8. You know, and it's like we never see it. It's just kind of way off in the future. And you don't even know if there is going to be a future. Especially when you're fire. When you're in the fire, it's no fun. It's not exciting. Now, I know what the Bible says. Rejoice when you face various trials. And hardly anybody calls up and says, Pastor Jim, you won't believe it, I'm in a trial right now. Hallelujah. Nobody calls me. Nobody. They all call complaining and griping and adding to my weight. I was having a good day until that phone call came. You'd think, you know, there'd be one member at least would call and say, another victory for Jesus. It just doesn't seem fair. It's not right. I left the world for what? The devil's right. He didn't leave the world. Look, send him through the fire. Not the Jesus thing, but send him through his own fire and see whether he'll obey you, whether he'll worship you and love the brethren and love himself and love his neighbor and all that. See if that's the case. And then if he gets that one, send him through the physical, the external, the one where he's persecuted, hated. You think it's tough now? We haven't even gotten to the persecution stage. Outward persecution. Persecution. I mean, where the affliction is not inner, dealing inside your soul. That's just a preparation for seven, where you really get to die. I mean, physically, perhaps, if you're fortunate. Or you can go all the way through and get the victory. Woo-hoo! Amen. So you can see how blessed you are to have a pastor that can take you through the whole process. Amen. Me and Gilbert. Gilbert, are you still alive? Woohoo! The devil tried to take your life. He didn't get you. It's powerful. You see, you're actually better off after all those troubles. You know why? They're all designed. Every trouble in your life is designed. I don't know why you thought you'd fall. How can you fall? You can't fall. No matter what happens. Whoa, whoa! You can't fall. There's no way to fall. It's underneath are the everlasting arms. Even if you did fall, there's a safety net. Don't worry. God has never made an investment that doesn't pay off. He doesn't make bad investments. You're not going to lose. You've already won. Say it. I'm not going to lose. I've already won. All things are working my way. Woo-hoo! You see? There's a whole bunch of scriptures you can use. There's a whole bunch. All things work together for the good. I can run through a troop, leap over a wall. Every weapon fashioned against me shall not prevail. And on and on and on and on and on. I got dozens of them. You got to have them when you go into the fire. You got to carry them in there. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. You got to have those scriptures. You got to hang on. See, here's the problem. If you go into the fire without the Word of God richly inside of yourself, the truth, you will burn up. You will get discouraged, depressed. You'll think to yourself, my God, what is this kind of God? Who would do this? A devil. Who would do this? A devil. What kind of a God is this that doesn't give me victory every step along the way? I thought he said my steps are ordered. They are, right through the fire. They are. They're ordered. Who ordered these? Your loving Father, the Father that loves his Son, chastens him. Thanks. Appreciate. Do I really need this? You know, I'm a quick learner. You could have just written it down in a book. I could have learned it, memorized it. Why do I have to actually experience it? I'm not that dumb. I'm quick. I got the point when Jesus did it. I was with him all the way. Come on, Jesus, you can do it. Rise, buddy. You know, and he did. He came up. I knew he was going to make it. I read the last chapter. I knew it. But here's the part that's difficult for me is, will I make it? If I go through the fire, I don't think I can make it. I'm not the type. I'm not built that strong. I'm not built that pure. I'm weak. It's like down at the motorcycle shop. They want me to get on one of those motorcycles. They're always doing it, aren't they, Scott? Get on. I said, I don't have a license. That's okay. You just do it here in the parking lot or something. No, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to get on. Why? I'm weak. Because these are all big, you know. The guy that's asking me, Jason, he's what, 6 foot three or four or five or something, 350 pounds. It's easy for him to say it. He'd just bounce right back up. I can't even lift the bike. I can't even lift it. This is too heavy. I'm not afraid to say I'm weak. Why shouldn't I say it? I know I'm not good for that kind of thing. I know I'd run right into the thing. Where's the brake? I don't know where it is. I just crash right into a tree or into a car. Or I just spill it over on the side. They call that laying down. He laid his bike down. Yeah, but where did his leg go when he laid that down? You know, they say it like it's something. Yeah, everyone does one of that. I can see the bike's all banged up. What happened to his leg? I'm weak. You remember my frame. We are dust. See, I try to remind God of that. When you're sending me through the fire, you know, turn it down a little when you see me. For others, it's okay. I don't mind when others go through. I'm encouraged. But when I have to go through, I hate it. I hate it. I do gripe and complain. I moan. It's not easy. You have to trust the Lord, don't you? You have to have a lot of word in you. You have to have a lot of word in you. Come on, Jim, you can do it. I know it's easy for you. See, God's upstairs. He's not even bothered by it. He just looks down and says, yeah, you'll make it. You'll be fine. Yeah. That's all that foreknowledge stuff. You know I'm going to make it. It's the going through the suffering part that I don't want to make it through that. I just want to get at the end. Why can't I get in the... Remember when you got in the boat that one time? It was immediate at the land? I want one of those. You know what I'm saying? Jesus got in the boat one time, and it said immediately they were at the land. You know, but why do I always have to get in the boat that you have to row against the storm? You know what I mean? I mean, this is why. How did I get this boat? Why doesn't Jesus do one of those for me? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We don't like suffering. We don't like circumstances to turn negative on us. Let's say you were America. And America's about to be judged. Oh, it's already begun. And let's say America has to go through one of these tests. And God is testing the country to see what's it made out of. It's like, I don't think we're mature enough anymore. I don't think we have the kind of people we need anymore. I think we've run out of good people. We only have a handful. A lot of them are right here in this church, good people. But weak. Good, but weak. And, you know, the bad guys are strong. It seems like they're getting stronger. Every law they pass is not for us. It's for somebody else. They're getting discouraged. Are you getting discouraged or what? You watch the TV of all the dwarfs getting up there. They're too little. None of them are us. They're not our kind of people. Amen? Pick between the dwarfs. You know, you, I guess. I mean, it's pathetic. Then you have the other party. You know, there's not much to it. The whole thing's a joke. They're all alike. There's no hope. I think this Christian thing was just an idea, a concept. It's not to be lived, really. What a fool someone would be who actually believed in this thing and would jump in the fire on purpose. Bad enough, just our families cause problems. And then our bad habits. Let alone all of that. How many know that unless you go through the fire, you aren't going to come out pure? You got to go through fire. How many are on step number two? Just barely out of the world. Barely out. You got out, but you have your return ticket. You had a two-way ticket. It wasn't a one-way. So just in case. How many have one of those just-in-case religions? Just in case the thing doesn't pan out. If it doesn't work out, I can always get back. How many got one of those? You've even got pictures of the old place, you know, right where to go back. Hey, is my chair still there? You know, keep it there, so I can go back to what's comfortable, what I know. And then how many are at number two? How many are at number two? You believe. You not only repent of this world, you believe in Jesus. You're already at three? Praise God. Oh, Oh, three. You're not at four. Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Right there is affliction. Right there. It comes from your own family. The teacher. Yeah, that's right. That's the teacher. Man, being a student under her, that'd be tough. Can't get away with anything. So how many are at number three? Just a believer. Only believe. Nothing else. Just only believe. How many are like that? Okay. No, you didn't even sign up for two. Now you didn't sign up for three. How many are at four? Where you're obedient. You trust in the Lord and you're obeying Him. Okay, good. One. All right. I have a feeling we're not even getting close to this congregation, man. All right. How many are experiencing health and wealth and reputation and name and family and all those good things? You know, things are going your way. Things are going your way. One, two, three. Praise God. Four, five, six. All right. Y'all just wait. You just wait. I'm telling you, God loves you more than that. He's going to send you through five. Okay, how many are in five right now? You're losing your soul. You know, it's just pretty much, you tried to preserve your life, you tried to keep your life, and now you're losing it. You're just beginning to say, okay, God, whatever you want. Okay, whatever you want. All right, okay. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit until the miracle. I'm going through. But it's just psychological. It's not even the final test. That's just the test before the final exam. And you're having trouble on five. You haven't even gotten to seven. Okay, how many are at six then? Good. You're changing your number. Amen. Yeah, upgrades come easily. Upgrades come easily. Amen. All right, how many are at already seven? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Lord, we just pray for Mary right now that she will have much more fun, excitement as she goes through seven. Let her go through that fire and rejoice. Say, Lord, no matter what the devil throws at me, it'll only turn out to my good. It'll only turn out to our benefit. The best is yet to come. I know there will be a victory, and I know it will be soon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else who's in seven right now? Yes, Nancy. Anyone else who's in seven? You are? How many are in eight already? It's over. You're so strong. You've been through the test seven times. It's over. You passed. You got an A+. Well done, good and faithful servants. The only thing remaining. How many? Are you there, Barb? Praise God. Yeah, you don't have to go again. Once you're through, you're through. It's over. You just wait then for the victory. Could be a century or two, but it'll come. There's that lull. But it's coming. How many know the victory is coming? Jesus will come back, and He will say, well done. But you will not recognize Him if you didn't go through the fire. I'm just telling you. You say, well, what about the person that's only a four? I don't know. What about a person that only gets to six? I don't know. All I know is you're supposed to keep going. I'll give you scripture to prove what I just said. Every man mature in Christ. Well, that sounds like every. That's every is like everybody included. So every man mature in Christ. Isn't that Paul's purpose? Was to get every Christian mature in Christ all the way through. Everybody. And some of you are actually wishing, leave me at four. Leave me at three. Leave me at five, or I'll leave you. You know, some of you are wishing. You don't even want to go through five and seven. You're not even eager. You don't even want to learn this message. You got to go through. You got to go through. When you go through and you're dead to yourself, number five, when you're dead to yourself and then you're dead to other people's persecution and you rejoice when all men speak evil of you, and when your friends come around and, you know, despise you, and they begin to say, you're not a Christian. How could you be a Christian? Look at your circumstances. Look at this nation, couldn't be a Christian nation. Look how God has treated it. Look at Israel today. Look at Israel. Look at Israel. Supposedly, God's holy people. Look at them. Debauched, decrepit. Got enemies that hate them, want to destroy them. And she doesn't have any friends left. She has no friends left in the world. Maybe the United States. But we're just almost half and half on that. It's getting scary for them. It's getting scary for them. And the enemy is building up every day, stronger every day. The more you kill, the more there are. There's an endless supply. There's only you know, a few million Jewish people, but there are over a billion of the other guys, and they hate them. And even if they're not all rabid, even 10% would be 200 million, 20%, whatever. They're just all over the map, and they're having babies every day. New ones. And even that, even if that weren't true, the Chinese don't like them either. Who are you going to find friends? It's looking pretty bad for Israel. Israel's like Job. Israel's in the Job spot right there. When can you start rejoicing? When can you lift your head? You know what the Bible says? That when you see all these troubles and trials and tribulations, lift up your heads, O ye gates. The King of glory is about to come in. When you go through all those troubles, that means God loves you. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. You don't understand it. You just, after going through fire, you don't have any understanding. You know, you just, you've lost all your poop. You've lost all your stuff. You don't have any more wind. You just beat down. That's when God says, "All right, mighty men and women of God, rise up." Okay. And you're all pooed out. Been through so many fires, you just don't have any stuff left. I don't have any more stuff. Yeah, you're a mighty warrior. Get up. I can't. And we just can't believe we're going to make it all the way to the end. I mean, you know that whatever God begins, He finishes. The good work He's began in you, He will surely complete. The good work He began, if you even began, He's going to finish. You're going to make it. The only problem in the 1, 2, 3, 4 church, you know the only problem there? They just aren't told that there's 5, 6, 7, and 8. That's the only problem. If they were told, surely they'd want to go all the way too. They just don't even know. Those big church growth with, 350,000 people in them and stuff like that. We don't have one of those. We don't have one of those. We don't have that many. We have the pure. It's small, but it's pure. Because we're going through the fire. That's how you cut down. You see, you prune back. We don't want half-baked Christians. We want all the way baked. Fully baked. How many know that you're going to make it? You're going to make it. Not through any dint of your own wisdom, strength, and power, but just because God loves you. God loves you. Just because you got the Word in you. See, what a blessing I'm giving you. What a blessing. Thank God for a minister who won't do his own thing, but is faithful. Faithful. True. I'm not even looking for credit for that. You see, God is great. He has a sense of humor. He has a sense of humor. Or he's desperate, one of the two. Just anybody. No, the best is yet to come. God always saves the best to the last. I tell you, we're going to go through all kinds of troubles, judgments, trials, tribulations, fires, afflictions, burnings, corrections. I love it. Go for it, devil. Because the devil can only go as far as God lets him go. He can only purify me to the point where my flesh dies, but my spirit lives on. He can never do that part. He can't touch anything belonging to God. So much of me still belongs to this world. But another part of me belongs to God, and I have no idea which is which. But the fire finds out. Well, that was one of God's part, I thought. Well, no, that wasn't. But sure burned up quick. A lot of my good works are going to burn up quick. They're wood, hay, and stubble. But they were well-crafted wood, hay, and stubble works. They looked nice to me. How many have a few of those in your life? It's really just you. You're still full of worldliness, still full of pride, anger, bitterness, fear, jealousy, etc., etc. You know, you still got a lot of those works in your life. But that's okay. God's got a little design. Send you through these extra testings. That's for the ones that don't go through the first time. You know, you might not have caught it the first time. So he has this little program set up. It's really great. And you're going to pass the test. You know you're going to get, you know, graduate. You know you're going to get it. You know you're going to get it. A leader like me? Oh, praise God. I'm still at 1.5. But whenever I get a little further, I'm going to teach you how you do it. No. We're actually going to make it. Isn't that amazing? There has to be a God. God is not going to have just a few. He's going to have a numberless host. Numberless. That's in the trillions. Trillions. But I don't even know where they are. They're hard to find right now. You look around. I guess we have quite a few here, judging from the hands that went up today. And I thank God for those hands. Praise God. Even the half a hand that later, because that was growth right there. It was just immediate growth. All right. God is good. Job is a great story. It's to encourage us. It's not a story. It's us. It's your life. We're not talking about Job. We're talking about you, me, us, God, the kingdom, Satan. Satan's going to lose. He's already lost. He's not going to lose. He's lost already. When Jesus died on the cross, he was openly finished. When Job was destroyed, he wasn't, because his death would not come until God said it's time. And as soon as Job died, God resurrected him. As soon as he died. As soon as he went through the spiritual, the psychological, and then the physical, external, persecution, all of that. Then he said, okay, it's up, it's over. And Job, listen how Job ended his life. This is a beautiful story. Twice as much as he had before. He was dead broke. He had everything that he had nothing. Well, what he had, let's say it was a billion. Now he had 2 billion. That's not bad for a guy that went down. How about going down is the way up? But you got to turn it over to God and let God purify you. It doesn't just come. It only comes when you surrender. I surrender all. How many have surrendered all to Jesus? All to Jesus. You got to surrender everything to Jesus. Amen? Amen? Everything. Let's do it. I surrender all to you, Lord Jesus, my Savior, my example, my Alpha, my Omega, my all in all. I love you. I will go through the fire, and I will come out pure. And my sin will be gone, and there'll be nothing but my Savior and me and everyone else you saved, and even some of the enemies that today are not saved. Hallelujah. The best has been saved. This is the last generation. You are the last generation. Look at the strength in this room. Just look around. Don't look at this row here. But look around. Mighty men and women of God. I'm telling you, how do you view yourself? How many view yourself as a mighty man and woman of God in the making? In the making. Have faith. The same faith you have in Jesus, have it in his promise that what he began, he will finish, and you're what he's talking about. You're making it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's the word. This word is going deep, not into your head. You don't even have to understand it. It doesn't go into your head. It goes into your heart. It goes straight into the heart. Pretty soon it renews the mind. And then it renews even your life, which becomes a living sacrifice. When you're a living sacrifice, that means though you're dead, you're still alive physically. You're a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, that's the ultimate. That's what God is looking for. Those that are like Christ in every way. And that's why he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. We learn obedience through what we suffer. So I'm not teaching what the other churches are teaching. I know they're not teaching that, but that's okay. It's all right. They're not ready yet. It's okay. Stay 1, 2, 3, 4. If that's where you want to be, stay there. But pretty soon, when we make it, then they'll be jealous. How'd you guys do that? I don't know. It wasn't because we were smart. It wasn't because we were good. It wasn't because of anything. Just we took him at his word. We just thought things out again. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 is not the goal. Maybe it's 5, 6, 7, 8. That's all. We just have to change our mind on that. Ah, you mean this is not the end yet? No, not yet. The best is yet to come. It's been saved to the last. The perfection. You know, he said in there, the latter rain and the former rain. You may not know anything about rain in Israel. The former rain are the spring rains. The latter rains are the fall rains. Why do we need the latter rains? The former rains are obvious. That's for seed time. You sow it into the ground. It's got to have some moisture, some sunshine. The soil heats up over 55 degrees. Pretty soon corn grows and everything else and so on and so forth. So we understand that. But why the latter rain? Why in the fall, when the harvest is getting ripe, why do you need rain? The latter rain is not heavy. The latter rain is a light rain that helps the fruit to mature and ripen, not the seed. So the latter rains are those that ripen us just at the end and mature us as through fire. Israel's being tested, the church is being tested, the world is being tested. Everything is being tested. Will we make it? Yes. Because God has a stake in us. It isn't us have a stake in God. It's God has a stake in us. We're his people. We're his holy people. We will make it. Not by our own strength. We will die. But he will live. And he will live in us. That's resurrection. Father God, we thank you for this message today of Job, 29th chapter. Looking back over the good old days and realizing that wasn't God's best. Circumstances is not victory. Good circumstances are not the victory. But coming through the fire and overcoming faith, that is the victory that makes it past the suffering, the testing, the chastening, the persecution, the ridicule, the correction. I thank you, Lord God. We're a hardy people. We can make it through the fire where the soul will be separated from the spirit and the body will become a living sacrifice. Thank you, Lord God, for designing this world for the next as through fire and blood. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Peace which passes understanding. Peace which guards our hearts, preserves our minds. That peace which the world can't give, which circumstances can't give. And we ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Depart in his peace. Love you all.